Hello, my name is Shannon. I'm from the International Volunteer Center in Lviv, Ukraine. Today, we're going to be speaking with a volunteer from UK named Matt. Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here in Ukraine.
Well, hello, Shannon. My name is Matthew Parrish. I'm from England, as you said. I came to Ukraine in early September 2023. My background, actually, is I'm an attorney. I'm a lawyer. And I'd been doing some very stressful work. And I, to be honest, what I needed was a break. I needed a break from what I was doing because I was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And I was not well. So I decided I wanted to go and help Ukraine because it's a country I've been coming to for 30 years. And I love the people and I love the country. And I thought this was a really good cause. So I thought I would come to Ukraine and help some, help and do what I could to assist and volunteer. So I began with the idea of staying for 6 weeks, and anyway, now it's been 5 months. So and I'm still here, and I still feel I'm still doing useful things to help the Ukrainian community and the Ukrainian people.
Tell me a little bit about your first impressions of coming to Lviv after the invasion.
Well, I must say that coming to Lviv, it's very different from going out to the east and to the front line, because life in Lviv it really feels very normal. It feels like any other European city, but you've got all the features of having a war going on around you. So there are air raid sirens, and you are dealing with soldiers, and you're seeing things all over the place that are incidents of war that you wouldn't normally see, and there's a curfew. But really, life in Lviv feels very normal. There are a lot of restaurants, there are a lot of bars, there's a lot of hospitality venues, and you can live well in Lviv, and you feel comfortable. It's not a place where you feel there's any danger or any discomfort. But that changes when you travel elsewhere in the country, when you get closer to the front line.
Okay. What does your day-to-day look like here as a volunteer in the country?
Right, well, it very much depends on what you do. So I started out doing frontline deliveries to frontline civilian communities, which involves getting up very early in the morning, normally about 4 or 5 a.m., and then driving off to different individual locations where you were delivering different sorts of medical or food aid, whatever the supplies were, and you'd have to plan the day, everything was very organized. But working in Lviv as a volunteer is a very different sort of experience. So when you're out in the front line, it's a quasi-military kind of experience. But when you're working as a volunteer in Lviv, which is where most of the volunteers are, it's much more relaxed. I spend a lot of my days at a military kitchen, which involves getting up at regular hours. I often start work at 10 o'clock in the morning, or I may just do the afternoons. I may do paperwork in the mornings. And I've got a lot of flexibility as to how I work. I work generally from my home as a home office for the paperwork I do, and then I work in a large military kitchen just on the outskirts of the centre of the city, where I go for a few hours every day as well. And then I have social events in the evenings and other meetings in the evenings with my fellow volunteers and with other Ukrainians who I know.
All right, fantastic, great. So do you have any stories with the locals or other volunteers that stand out to you when you think about your time spent volunteering here?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been here for 5 months doing this. I've had so many incredible experiences. I mean, I remember the time when I was walking down a Black Sea beach in the middle of, just outside Mykolaiv, which is a city on the close to the Black Sea, and then there were people screaming at me, telling me that the beach was mined, and I need to get off the beach real quick. So that was an experience. Wow. I mean, I've had experiences where I woke up in Kherson, which is a city on the front line, and found every building shelled. But, you know, those are some of the sort of, every building except my hotel, which was somehow miraculously still standing. The Russians had been shelling the city overnight. I mean, I've had all of these crazy kinds of experience on the front line, but working in Lviv, in the west of the country, and working in Kiev as well, I found things much quieter. That's much more normal, and you get into a regular way of routine, a regular way of life, and it certainly doesn't feel dangerous. It doesn't feel like you're going to have these amazing experiences where your life's at risk. But one thing I will say that I really do appreciate is that the Ukrainians who you meet and deal with here are really appreciative of foreigners. Because what we are is we're emissaries of the West. We're telling the Ukrainian people, we care about you, we care about your country, and we care about your welfare. We don't want the Russians to overrun you. So they see us almost like ambassadors.
as people who are there, who are here to tell them the West supports you. So I think it's really important that we're here and that we that, and that we're visible and vocal.
Great, I like that. I like that. So thinking about walking on the beach, that's mined, and I'm not sure how long you were walking there before somebody alerted you, so I'm sure there was some stress there, and then talking about being Kherson, and I know you've traveled to even other areas that are very dangerous. How do you maintain your mental health and staying sane and staying grounded, doing all of this work in all these areas in Ukraine?
Well, I think it depends, it all depends where you are. Because Ukraine, people don't realise this, but it's an enormous country. It's the second biggest country in Europe after Russia, and it's the circumstances and conditions are very different from one end of the country to the next. But when you're when you're in a situation which is dangerous, you've got to plan everything, okay? You've got to do your research. You know, you decide, you work out which routes are safe that day and which routes aren't. You ask people for local knowledge, local intelligence. That's the way you tend to just keep yourself, well, I don't think sane is the word, but keep yourself alive. You try to sleep well, you try to eat well, and you try to get into a routine that you're comfortable with. And if you're not comfortable with the routine, get out of it and go and do a different volunteering opportunity, which is less stressful. I mean, you can only spend so long on these frontline locations without going a bit crazy. And yeah, this is known with soldiers. You need, maybe a month or two, then you may need a break and take a week or two out. So if you're going to do work on the front line, you should be taking regular breaks and coming back to Lviv and, having your R&R time, as it were, just like a soldier would.
Great. Awesome. Thank you for that. I remember you sharing with me that you are a deployable civilian expert. Am I saying that correctly?
You are saying that correctly, yes. Okay. That's the British government's position, and I've been trained to work with the military in a variety of civilian capacities. So you're the guy who goes out and because I'm a lawyer who might go out and negotiate something to do with a peace agreement at some point, but working with the military and knowing how their procedures operate.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to kind of shift gears just a little bit with your extensive experience even prior to the invasion and everything that you know language-wise and cultural-wise. Let's say I'm an international volunteer and I'm sitting in my living room from whatever country around the world outside Ukraine, and I'm thinking I want to come there and volunteer and help out, and a big impediment is the cultural and language differences and barriers I would face. As a volunteer, how have you found it? What are best practices for navigating those cultural differences, whether I'm coming to volunteer for 2 weeks or 3 months or 5 months as you're continuing on?
Right. Well, I think the first thing to do is you've just got to grab the bull by the horns and go. If you really want to do this, if you want to come and help Ukrainians, then come, because you will find the resources. So the International Volunteer Centre is a great example of an institution that will welcome you in and will show you the ropes. And we'll give you the different alternatives. There are lots of different opportunities for volunteering in Ukraine, helping the Ukrainian people. And you have to find the one that's right for you. Some are better than others for different types of personality. Some people have a higher risk tolerance than others. And there are opportunities for everybody. Some people want to do manual labour. Some people want to do work sitting at a desk. There are all sorts of options. But the main thing to do is to come and to get yourself in touch with people in advance who know something about it. And I really recommend the IVC for this. And they will guide you through what to do. Because after a while, it all becomes second nature. But don't be afraid or concerned that it's something completely alien or that you won't understand it. Ukrainian people are Europeans. They're very Western looking. They're all learning English because they want to get out of the Russian orbit. So young people here are all looking to learn English. They want to speak with foreigners, and they want to be very friendly. So you're not going to find it some alien, crazy environment. Even though it's a war zone and there are some privations, there are some difficulties, you're going to find it really straightforward in the sense that people are going to be helpful and friendly. And, it's just like anywhere else in Europe in one sense. You're going to be taking the train or taking the bus or doing this or doing that. And it's all going to work in a way that you understand. But you just have the background knowledge that there's a war going on and there are soldiers fighting, and you're doing everything you can to help them.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So I know you've spoken a lot about helping out Ukraine and the Ukrainians, and your volunteer experience goes towards that. And thank you for the big heart. And I've worked with you outside of this scenario, so I know it's genuine there. Thinking of another perspective, though, from volunteers who haven't been over here yet and are still considering it, what would you say is a big individual impact for you outside of helping others that you've taken away from this volunteer experience? What can a volunteer expect to have by the end of their volunteer tenure?
Volunteering in a wartime environment is going to change your personality in a way. It's going to make you much more self-reliant. It's going to make you get used to dealing with lots of different sorts of people. Because we all work in our own little communities, right? I'm used to dealing with lawyers, who are very specific sort of people, who've been educated in a certain sort of way, and taught to do certain sorts of things, right? And when you're working in the volunteer community, you're working with people from across the social spectrum, from every conceivable different sort of background, and from people who are from all over the world, right? And they've got one thing in common, generally, which is that they want to help. But apart from that, they don't have much in common. So what you've got to do is to reach out and find ways of making friends and getting on with people who might be very different. And what it really teaches you, I found, is teamwork. Working with totally different people, with totally different skills, coming to value them. And also, you do. I'll go back to self-reliance, because you've just got to get on with it. Right? There's a war going on, there's people dying out there every day, and your decisions and your actions are making a difference. Right? Whether it be that you're doing some paperwork that's helping somebody, that you're doing frontline deliveries, or that you're making food in a military kitchen, or that you're making camouflage netting, whatever you're doing making a real impact to people's actual lives. Soldiers and civilians are going to live or die depending on what you do. So you've got to be determined, you've got to be strong-headed, strong-willed, and you've got to have a will to make a difference, because what you do is important, and it makes you into a responsible person.
Great. That's awesome. I love that answer. That reminds me of a classic analogy I hear every so often of a storm at sea washed up thousands of starfish on sand on the shore. And of course, if the starfish are out of the water, they die very quickly. So this couple were walking down the beach in the morning and they see this guy down there picking up a starfish, throwing it in the ocean. And there's thousands of them out there. And they ask him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to save the starfish." And they said, "There's thousands out here. A lot of them are going to end up dying." And he's like, he picked one up and said, "I can save this one," and threw it back. "I can save this one," and threw it back. So he kept focusing on the individual starfish in this example, the individual cases he could help address and save, and not look at the entire picture and say, "I'm not going to be able to do the whole project, so I might as well not do it." So,
well, no, I mean, you know, this is the largest land war since the end of World War II. It is an enormous war. On the Ukrainian side, at least 100,000 people have died. We've had an exodus of millions of refugees. On the Russian side, the figures are even more horrendous. But this is an enormous war, and people are dying every day. Now, that doesn't mean that you should throw your hands up in the air and say it doesn't make any difference. It really makes a difference, because every life's important. If your life's important, my life's important, then that person's life is important. And what you have enormous satisfaction in doing, and this is virtually unparalleled in any other walk of life, which is what makes being a volunteer in Ukraine such a fulfilling experience, is that you can save or change or help dozens of lives every single day by the work that you're doing. And that really makes you feel good about the work you're doing in a way that's completely unparalleled in virtually any other walk of life. You go into your office job, you do your 9 till 5, whose life are you saving? Are you saving even one life? Probably not. Right? Not unless you're doing something very special indeed. But here, you're really managing to change things. And the figures are enormous, but then also the goodwill is enormous. And you could be part of a process to help this country and to help just help people stay alive, to help them rebuild their lives and deal with all of the agonies and crises that war involves.
Great, thank you. Thank you for that. Another question I think would come to mind on a lot of volunteers, or I'm sure they have interest all over in this area. How do you stay informed about the broader geopolitical context of the conflict? What are your sources for keeping in touch with what's happening outside Ukraine, mainly on a political scale?
Right, so this is actually quite a tricky issue, because a lot of the international media that you'll read in newspaper articles about Ukraine, what they're really doing is they're taking a lot of government press releases and they're republishing them. So getting independent sources of news is very important. And you've got to do a lot of, if you really want to understand what's going on in Ukraine, you've got to do a lot of fact-checking, cross-checking from lots of different sources, and don't easily believe information. because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's on both sides, actually. It's not just that, I mean, yes, the Russians have a huge propaganda machine, but the Ukrainians do as well. And figuring out what's really going on, figuring out what's going on in US Congress right now, what all the different politicians really think, this isn't very straightforward. Thinking out what's going on in different European capitals, this isn't straightforward. It's a constant exercise, but what happens is that when you're here, you start to understand really how decisions made abroad start to affect people on the ground. You start to see how it affects their morale, and you start to realise how important it is that you study these things really carefully. So you've got to go through all the newspapers. I spend a lot of my time looking at newspapers, watching decent talking heads, listening to TV channels, looking at media. I don't bother with social media so much because there's a lot of rot out there, yeah, but I try to look at reliable sources, and I try to think for myself, what's really going on in this war right now? What's been happening? What's been going on in the last 12 months? Because a lot of people have died in the last 12 months, but the front line hasn't really moved very far. In fact, it's not moved at all. So a lot of people say, well, we're in a stalemate. Okay, and that's my view, is that we're in a stalemate in this war, and then what happens next? Now, nobody's really talking about that in the West in exactly those terms, but those are the conclusions I've reached, really being here on the ground, talking to lots of different people, and I think this is what most Ukrainians really think as well, that they think there's a stalemate, and they're not sure what happens next. And so, you know, what you're also doing as a volunteer is that you're funneling information back to the West, so that people back home can understand better what this war is really about and why it's so important.
Great, thank you. I've got a final question to kind of ask to kind of wrap this up, but before I do, I have two selfish questions to ask I didn't share with you. So what would be your definition of someone who cares about a scenario? What does that look like when somebody says, I care about something or someone?
What does it mean to care about somebody? You know, sometimes in your life, you know, we all go through life and we try and get our best education, our best qualifications, our best experience. We try to bring in the most money for ourselves. We all have periods in our lives where we focus on ourselves. You know, I've got to have the most beautiful girlfriend or boyfriend. I've got to have the most amazing marriage service. I've got to make more money than I did last year. I've got to get the biggest bonus in my job. But there comes a stage in your life, and it came to me at a certain point when I had to decide that actually those are not the most important things in my life. What matters, for me at least, is standing up for some principles, which is that the Russians are tearing up international law and they're tearing up old-fashioned concepts of sovereignty and old-fashioned concepts of borders. And the fact that people are dying as a result of this, because it's Russian imperialism that we're dealing with. And you think, I've got to do something about this, and I've got to care about these issues, not because they're personally important for me, but because they're important for the whole world, because they're important for humanity. And I think at some point, all of us go through a period in our lives where we start to think that there are other things of principle that are more, and caring for other people, that are more important than just about, you know, how big is your next paycheck going to be. At least that's what drives me.
Great, thank you for that. And my follow-up question to that is, do you think God cares about Ukraine?
I'm sure she does.
All right.
No doubt at all.
Okay, fantastic. So my final question is, what message would you like to convey to listeners in the audience who are interested in supporting the situation here, whether that's a couple of euros and financially, or they're trying to make that final step to come over here and volunteer, whatever that looks like? What is something you want to tell them?
What I would say is that we need your help. If you care about this issue, and if you're watching this, I believe you do, then we are going to need your help, okay? We need anything you can get. We need your labour, we need your time, we need your money, because this is a war that's going to go on and on. It's going to last at least all of 2024, okay? Because we've got an uncertain US general election in November 2024, and then we're going to have an inauguration of a US presence in January 2025, and this war is going to carry on at least for that long. So please support Ukraine in any way you can. If all you can do is give financially, then find a good organisation to give your money to. If you have time, please come here and give your time and your support and volunteer and work. but do something. And if what you can do is talk about the Ukrainian issue, get it out there, in the media, write to your political representatives, whichever country you're in, whoever they may be, keep Ukraine on the front page of the newspapers, because we absolutely need support in this really critical year.
That's amazing. Well, thank you, Matt, for your time. I appreciate it. I think this is going to help a lot of people who want to make that final step to come out here like you did and maybe find themselves 5 months and counting into supporting. So thank you for your support and volunteer effort as well.
Thank you, Shannon.